Hey friends, we're back in Ecclesiastes at chapter 6 today, and let's start with a question. What do you do when you get exactly what your heart desires, and it still feels empty? You followed your heart, got what you wanted, but something's still missing. Or what if you find yourself living the, if I just had that one thing, I'd be happy life, but you never get that one thing? Here in chapter 6, Solomon sees a lot of it. Everyone's after what they can't have, and the few that do have don't seem to enjoy it. Let's pick up at verse 1. I have seen another evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, and honor, so that they lack nothing their hearts desire. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them, and strangers enjoy them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. Now remember, Solomon is still on his quest, observing life to see what's good and worthwhile for mankind to do in our short days under the sun. That phrase appears again here, and it continues to be the key to our understanding. Solomon's perspective is stuck here in this world. He finished out chapter 5 with a beautiful call to enjoy life and find satisfaction in our work. But the very next thing Solomon sees is some poor souls who have it all and enjoy none of it. They lack nothing their hearts desire. But the truth is, they lack everything that counts. Notice the problem there is with the heart. Apparently, the heart desired things that didn't satisfy. Sometimes I think we put too much faith in our heart's ability to lead wisely. Sometimes our heart's desire is really just our flesh's desire, renamed for better marketing. So, in verse 3, a man may have 100 children and live many years, yet no matter how long he lives, if he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive a proper burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. It comes without meaning. It departs in darkness, and in darkness its name is shrouded. Though it never saw the sun or knew anything, it has more rest than does that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice over, but fails to enjoy his prosperity. Do not all go to the same place? Well, that's pretty bleak. Solomon says that a stillborn child is better off than a rich, successful man who never enjoys it. A couple thoughts here. First off, remember the perspective. Solomon only sees this life. The love of God is out of the picture. Heaven is out of view. When Solomon says, do not all go to the same place, he means everyone dies and gets buried. And yes, in that view, we all go to the same place, back in the earth. But what happens after that, well, Solomon doesn't see. And here's the thing. We should see what happens after that. The eternal perspective is necessary to make sense of life. In fact, it changes everything. The glimpse of life that we get through Solomon's eyes is meant to thoroughly convince us that life without the eternal isn't enough. You can have all of it and still have nothing gained. Bad dates, dead monkeys. Do you see them? And yet, there are also some great lessons that we should take from Solomon's observations. Life is meant to be enjoyed. God gave you a gift. Enjoy it. And here's what I found. The more we try to find our heart's fulfillment in the temporary things of this world, the less we enjoy them. But the more we set our hearts on things above and find our purpose and fulfillment in Christ, the easier it is to enjoy the little things. And life is fun again. Have you ever seen stories of Olympians, best in the world at their sport, yet they lost the joy of the game? Because they start to believe that life isn't complete without that gold medal. What's the point of that? And some of us go through life that way. And did you know that many Olympic medalists go through serious depression after they get the gold? Because what's left to live for? They sacrificed all the joy of the sport, entertain everyone else, and then it's over. But Jesus offers a better plan. Store up your treasures in heaven. Why? Because moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves can't break in and steal. In other words, I can't lose it. And when my treasure can't be lost, then everything I have is gain. And all the temporary stuff in this life, you know, money, success, medals, whatever. If I don't have it, no big loss. If I do have it, I can enjoy it. Because God made it beautiful in its time. So I'll appreciate its beauty. Win or lose, I can still enjoy the game. But it's no longer my heart's desire. Because setting your heart on things down here is idolatry. It's stuff worship. Okay, back here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon still doesn't get all that. Perspective still limited, he goes on in verse 7. Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. At the heart of this lament is people just living for their appetite. Basically, it's a metaphor. Your mouth never stops eating, and people never stop wanting more. In verse 9, better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. That means be content with what you have now, rather than letting your appetite just keep roving. Enjoy life as it is, not as you dream it to be. In Philippians, Paul warns us about Christians whose minds are on earthly things. He's talking about the Christian teachers who encourage you to pursue health and wealth in earthly terms and treat Almighty God like an almighty genie. Paul says their God is their stomachs. Basically, they make sacrifice to their own desires and appetites, and they call it Christian. Back here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, this too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And there's that phrase again. Reminds me of the first time I taught through this book. I was the high school pastor at church, trying to teach some teenagers to look past the temporary. My daughter Daisy was just 3 years old, but she came to youth group with us every week. I remember driving home in that old beat-up Toyota pickup. Daisy always wanted the window down, because she'd stick her hand out the window to catch the wind. I tried to explain that you can't catch the wind, but she'd close up her little fist and tell me, sure I can, it's right here in my hand. I also tried to give her a Bible lesson in Ecclesiastes and the emptiness of worldly pursuits, but she just looked at me and smiled. But it did make me think of Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? That verse is about a man finally seeking God, seeking the one who connects heaven and earth, the one who holds the wind in the hollow of his hands. We can chase the wind all we want. We'll never catch it. But chase God, and you'll find he's got everything you've been chasing after all along. So back to the question we opened with. What do you do when you get your heart's desire and still feel empty? The real problem is the heart. The world says, follow your heart. But Jeremiah 9 says that the heart is deceptively wicked. That means it lies and wants bad things. Apart from God, following your heart is really just following your flesh. But there is hope. Follow Christ, and he offers a new heart, and he will write his law on your heart. See, following your heart comes naturally, no training required. The real trick is directing your heart to the real good stuff. How? Jesus gave us the answer. Store up treasures in heaven. After all, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. And Jesus explains, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, your heart follows your treasure. That's the key. Solomon's vision is fixed under the sun, where his treasure never satisfies and it can all be taken away. But for the believer in Christ, our treasure is beyond the sun, secure and safe. And when we know that, when we learn to treasure the eternal, faith, hope, love, our relationship with God, then our hearts will long for heaven and push us to press on toward the upward call of Christ. And ironically, all the temporary stuff is suddenly so much easier to just enjoy and let go.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.